that, and you would list those contracts here. Set question.
Go back to number one, family worker, where you have hours devoted to the program, but you have them as part-time. Would the hours then be 1040 versus 2080?
The hours that you're going to want to put in there are the hours that you project that that individual will be working on the program. So they may be a full-time worker, but funded by several sources working in other programs. But if, in the case of the second one, if they were only working, you determined that they would be working so many hours a week in your program and it added up to, in the CSBG program, and it added up to 680 hours, those are the only hours that we want to see up here. So the person at the top who has full-time at 2,080 hours, we would look at that and determine that that individual or that classification will be working in that program full-time. It might even be two individuals working half-time in the program, but that you're billing us for our expectation is 2,080 hours in that job classification just towards that program.
So essentially, based on what Victor said, in the case of the family worker above, it assumes that you have a family worker who's at least 50% funded from other sources that are non-CSBG, or that you have a project that's funded from more than one funding source. Okay, moving on. Section 4 is travel. And you'll see the example listed there, 55 cents a mile times 1,500 miles. And all of these miles are 100% are CSBG miles, and so therefore the resulting number looks like $825. If you have out-of-county travel, then it'd go on the out-of-county line. Moving on to the next page, Section 5 is space. You'll see several different letter designations used there, rent or lease, and then depreciation or use allowance, as well as there's an O for owned. But for example, you'd put the letter designation, say you have a lease, you put the L, the address from January 1, 2010 to, you know, depending on which funding source you checked, at the beginning, September 30th or December 31, 2010, the full cost information, what your annual or total cost for that time frame would be, the percentage funded by CSBG, and what amount that represents. Section 6 is for other equipment costs. You'll notice the definition there. It says, one, all computer hardware, and two, expendable property that's more than 1,000 but less than 5,000. Here too, you have different letter designations. I would also add that based on the definition above, that it is possible you'd have purchases in addition to rents, leases, depreciation, use allowance, or owned, in which case I would just write in a P designation. Let's move on to Section 7, other costs. These are kind of your miscellaneous type of items. It includes things like office supplies, postage, printing, utilities, insurance costs, and other types of costs. If you have something that's kind of a miscellaneous or office-related item, you put it on this schedule. And then Section 8 is safety net or support services. I think Victor already alluded to, if you're proposing family self-sufficiency, you can include support services. Here's where you do that. So you have the example listed there of food, which is your cost per food service. It looks like $25 times $2. I'm sorry, times number of services, so times 200 services at 100% CSBG would result in 5,000. And that's it for the...
OK, Can I just make a couple comments on the budget? We are looking at very limited funding under CSBG, I think $700,000 for next year in the formula grant, as opposed to $800,000 the past year or two. We're really looking at a lot of the focus on direct services. We really don't want to see a lot of admin costs. Equipment purchases should be absolutely minimal. We want most of the funding to go into direct services if possible. Also, consultant and contracting, it should be very rare that you use that. Contracting for direct services is not allowed under CSBG. It would be maybe an accounting service or something like that. So I just wanted to make that clear. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead and move on to page 65. We have Form 3, Annual Service Projections. On this form, you'll provide annual projections for the program year, proposing organizations submitting self-sufficiency proposals that include support services for their enrolled clients should not include those support services on this annual projection form. As you see up on the top, we have it separated, family self-sufficiency proposals only, safety net, or our proposals. Please note, at the bottom there, all entries in the table above should be absolute numbers, no ranges, please. The next page, Form 4, Collaborative Partners Form. Please list all of the collaborative partners that will be included on this project that you're proposing, and describe how services will be coordinated, shared, linked, and/or financially leveraged in the next box there. Form 5, References Form, on page 67. If you have contracted with SETA in the past 5 years, you can simply put SETA in this top box here, and that form will be complete at that point. If you have not contracted with SETA, please go ahead and fill in your references with a contact person and phone number, as well as what types of services provided, funding sources, amount of grant, and basically the relationship with that organization. Form 6, go ahead and list your current funding sources. We filled in several funding sources and then left some spaces at the bottom for any other sources. And you can go ahead and write in what that source is and the grant period and amount. Okay, and the final form, Form 7. Go ahead and enter any other pending applications for funding that you have. At the bottom, we have some examples of funding sources, but that's not an exhaustive list. So any other sources should also be named and identified. And are there any clarification questions on any of these forms? Okay,
just want to ask some questions.
Go ahead.
On the Form 6, where you list funding sources, are you only listing funding for the proposed services, or are you listing funding for your agency?
On Form 6, that would include all the funding sources for your agency.
Patty Downing.
Okay, turning back to page 16, section 2. I'll go over this. Yes?
If you're funded from another store, but you're not funded for Sacramento County, you want to still include those. Mm-hmm.
Okay, pre-qualification section, page 16. I'll do this really briefly. As mentioned previously, failure to pre-qualify will disqualify your organization from funding consideration. Please call me by next Wednesday, September 23rd at 4 o'clock. Please do not wait till the last minute. The required pre-qualification documents depend on the type of agency you represent. When you call me, I will provide you with a list of required attachments from Section 2. All of the pre-qualification documents, beginning on page 23, are clearly labeled in the upper right-hand corner. My phone number is 263-3838. I'm out of cards. I'll get some more during the question period. Briefly, attachment 1 is the FPPC disclosure to determine if members and employees of your organization have donated $250 or more to any of SETA's governing board members. Our board members are listed on page 30 of this section. Attachment 2 certifies that your organization has not been debarred from receiving federal funds. Attachment 3 certifies whether or not your organization has used funds to lobby a member of Congress in connection with a federal contract, grant, or loan. Attachment 4 certifies that you maintain a drug-free workplace. Attachment 5 gives SETA staff permission to contact your insurance agent to discuss insurance coverage. Attachment 6 is an overview of your current insurance coverages. SETA's insurance requirements are listed in the back of this section beginning on page 46. We advise that you provide a copy of your insurance to your insurance agent to obtain an estimate on premium costs and endorsement language. However, please do not purchase additional coverage unless you are funded under this proposal and require additional coverage to meet our requirements. Depending on whether or not you're a private or public entity, attachments 7 and 8 are assurances of your organization's financial stability. Recent audits may also be substituted in lieu of attachment 8. Attachment 9 is for organizations preparing a proposal for a joint venture. Please note that all parties to a joint venture must pre-qualify. I can discuss all of these documents in detail with you when you call. It is important to note that if you pre-qualified earlier this year for another SETA-issued RFP, you are still required to call me again to state your intention to submit a proposal. Once again, my phone number is 263-3838.
Thank you. And I think we'll take a five-minute break, collect all your index cards, and come back and discuss the responses to your questions. Thank you.